This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
We're stepping into our final sermon for our series of the New Normal. And the title of my message today is Reason Why. Reason Why. And I think it's a pivotal message for the entire series, and that's why we're coming to a conclusion with it. But let's step in before we get there. The normal is this usual, this average. How many has your normal, the old normal, been challenged? How many are out of old patterns? We've been removed from the usual way that we lived life before 2020, before March of 2020, and now we have a new normal. Life looks different. Can I tell you that different isn't bad? Different is actually pretty good, and God is challenging us to stretch us and to help us be more intentional. Our series, in a sentence, is new is inevitable. God is about new things. God has always been about new things. He's been about new life. He's been about new creation. He's been about all these things that are new. New is inevitable. God brings about new constantly because it initiates growth. And our job, your job, my job, our job as pastors, our job as Christians, as Christ followers, is to do everything in our power to set ourselves up to thrive in the midst of this new. Can I tell you that God's not allowed the calamity and the crisis of COVID to cause you to fail and to cause you to collapse? He's allowed this to get your attention. He's allowed this to make us stronger in Him, not just as a body, but as individual followers of Christ. Isaiah 43 says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Don't dwell on what was pre-COVID. Don't sit and long for what was pre-COVID." Because in this process of longing, we miss something. God is about to do something new. Don't you see it? It's already begun. If you're looking back, you're missing what God is doing. If you're waiting till old normal comes, can I tell you, you're missing this 11 weeks of what God has been doing in lives, in my life, in your life. You're missing opportunities. Stephen Furtick says this, when God wants to start something new, He has to disrupt what is normal. I can tell you that the disruption in my life has been inconvenient. The disruption in my life has not always been fun. But can I tell you that also out of that disruption, out of the forgetting of the old normal, God is doing amazing new things in me as well as at Relevant Life Church. And not just Relevant Life Church, across the nation, across the world, that God's allowing these circumstances to change us. So today, as I conclude this series, The message today of reason why kind of comes back to the whole culmination of why do we allow these previous messages to interrupt our lives and how do we adjust to them? When we talk about the responding versus reacting or the physical rhythms or the spiritual rhythms or this dependence on God or not being socially distanced, but being physically distanced, the importance of all these things brings us back to the reason why you and I exist. That brings us back to this culmination of this new normal of why are we stepping into these things? Because God wants to do something in us. I am a proud peepaw of the most beautiful granddaughter on the face of the planet. And there's one in the oven, and I'm excited. I don't know how long, we don't know what it is at this point, but can I tell you, it doesn't matter. We love grandbabies. My grandbaby is in the middle of the Y stage, and we have this game that we play, and I will say, peepaw, Peepaw loves you. And she goes, why Peepaw? And I'll go back and go, because you're so sweet. And she goes, but why Peepaw am I so sweet? And because you're just kind and you obey. Well, why Peepaw do I obey and why am I kind? And Cammy, because God created you to be kind and sweet. And she goes, well, why did God create me that way? I said, because God loves you. And she goes, well, why does God love me? And it comes down to the clincher here, and it goes, because, Cammy, because God thinks that you're adorable. And she comes back with her classic statement. She goes, I'm not adorable, I'm Cammy. Do you ever ask those questions of why? I think that regardless of how old we are, she's almost three, and she's in the why stage. I don't know if we ever escape the why stage. I don't know if we ever escape the why stage. And someone gave me the illustration this morning because they knew I was talking about why. And many times we can respond to God with the why in a fist of anger and frustration, or we can respond to God with the why of an open hand to go, God, I surrender. And I want to ask you today, as we have finished the series and coming to the end of the series of this new normal, are you going, but God, why? Rather than saying, God, why? I surrender to you. And my challenge, our heart purpose this morning is to surrender to him. Simon Sinek, he is a communicator to the business world, and he is this guru that has come up with the question that says, what is your why? What is your why? Would you type why in your comments today? What is your why? And he goes on with this statement. He says, there is a reason and there is a purpose. There is a why for your existence. There is a reason and there is a purpose. There's a why for your existence. Many times we feel like we have to pursue the answer for that why. Many times we have to discover what our personal why is before we can actually live out our purposes. He came out with this graphic that you're going to see here, and it's a very simplistic graphic, and it starts with what on the outside, how in the middle, and why in the center. The why is the very core of our lives. That why should determine all these things. But let me pause and ask you this question. How many of you allow the what you do to determine your purpose? How many allow the what of what you're doing to determine your value and to determine who you are? How many allow the how of what you're doing to determine the who and what? Can I tell you, until we discover the why in our lives, we're never going to be the who. Until we discover this why of what God has called us to be, we're not going to be who God wants us to be. This reason for why is really the energy. It's the engine behind our lives. It's this reason why we live. It's this purpose behind that pushes us. We are all searching for something in life. Whether you call the word significance, whether you call that word purpose, whether you call it meaning, whatever you want to put on it as a label, I guarantee that everyone hearing my voice today wants their life to matter. Everyone wants to matter. We want to be recognized. We want someone to stand up and go applaud you, to go, hey, good job. Can I tell you that there's one being that surpasses all of them? It's the God of all creation, who had a design and a plan for your life. That rather than trying to get applause from people and recognition from people, the most important place of recognition is him. I ask you this question, has your purpose changed as a result of COVID? Do you feel defined by COVID? Do you feel defined by the lack of your job? Do you feel defined by quarantine? You know, many of the conversations that I've had is with lots of people is that our purpose has shifted, and we've allowed this effect of COVID to shift who we are and to shift why we're here. And I want to remind you that your why is still the same. The God who created you and designed you is the one that defines your why. It's not this matter of COVID and staying home and staying safe. It's not the matter that your job may be changing. That's not why you and I exist. And I want to remind us today, as we come to this conclusion, that we need to come back to this idea of purpose. What is the ultimate reason for us? This word purpose is the reason for which something is done or created. The reason something exists. So today, I'm going to go back and I'm going to kind of define some biblical principles that you may be aware of and you may have forgotten, or you're going, no, Pastor Kevin, I know that. But I want to call you to purpose today. I want to challenge you to step into a new mindset in this new normal, to not let the old normal define you, to not let COVID define you, but to say, no, God, my purpose is still for you. And you're the one that defines that purpose. Miles Monroe says this. He says, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but living your life without purpose. I want you to hear that today. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but living your life without purpose. There's more to life than just getting up in the morning and going to work and working 8 to 5 and coming home and sitting in your lazy boy chair. There's more to life than going on your dream vacation. There's more to life than owning a home. There's more to life than having three kids and a spouse. There's more to life than having a dog. There's more to life than having a white picket fence. There's more to life than all of these things that we seem to attribute purpose to. And I want to challenge you back to the reason that you exist. Your life without purpose is death. Can I tell you that if you're not living today without purpose, if you're living today without purpose, you're living in death. You're living in a tragedy. You're wasting what God has appointed you to accomplish. Mark Twain says this: the two most important days in your life are the day that you are born and the day that you find out why. I think the tragedy in our lives is that many times it takes a long time to find out why. I think the greatest tragedy is that many people live all of their lives and never discover why. And I want to challenge you today, in the middle of 11 weeks of quarantine, would you step back and say, God, help me discover your purpose, your why for me today? Let's not waste another day. Let's not waste another opportunity. Let's allow him to define us. As you may recall from our high school biology class, you have 46 chromosomes. 23 are from your father and 23 are from your mother. I got the best of both worlds. I got the best of my dad and the best of my mom, and I'm the best son of all. And it's that unique combination of chromosomes that determines everything from the color of our eyes to the number of hairs on our head. That's the only part that I'm missing, is the number of hairs on my head. It's part of your heredity. So it is the same with the image of God. The image of God is both your heredity and your destiny. I want you to remember that God even is stronger than the chromosomes. God is bigger than. In your image, in his image, you were created. The mathematical probability that you would get the exact 23 chromosomes that you got from your mother is 0.5 to the 23rd power. That's 1 in 10 million. But the same is true for the 23 chromosomes that you got from your father. So if you multiply those two together, the probability that you would be you is 1 in 100 trillion. But you also have to factor in that your parents' chromosomal history had the same probability, and their parents, and their parents, and their parents. You say, Pastor Kevin, what's your point? I want to declare today that you are immeasurably unique. That God, in his power, in his creation, has defined you and designed you with a purpose. It's not just for happenstance. The person that you are today is the supernatural power of God's creation. In Psalms 139, David says this to God. He says, "For God, you formed my inward parts. God, you knew my chromosomes that were going to come together. God, you knew me and you knew exactly how those things were going to narrow down and create me. And you knew the number of my hairs on my head and you knew the color of my eyes." And it goes on and it says that you knitted me together in my mother's womb. David steps back with awe and honor and praise. His response to that is a recognition. What oftentimes happens in us is that we get dissatisfied with the chromosomes. We get dissatisfied with this heredity that's in our lives, and we're going, "No, I'm too much like this. I don't like this." And God comes back and goes, "No, you're valuable. And David steps in and he says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven into the depths of this earth." Verse 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance." And I love this part. And this is where this purpose steps in. He says, "In your book were written." In God's book were written. In the heavenly resources, the history, the foundation of all that's there. "In your books were written every one of the days that were formed for you and for me." Can I tell you today that you were not an accident? Even though your parents might have thought that you were an oops, God never thought you were an oops. God doesn't create oopses. Every person is a creation called by God. Maybe you are an unwanted individual. Can I tell you today that God has called you with purpose? and he's numbered your days, and he's written down your destiny, and he says you're not an accident. All of us, every single one of us, begin as originals. But can I tell you that many of us try to become copycats? We get dissatisfied and we begin to compare, and this is when our purpose begins to unravel, because we're trying to be something that God didn't design us to be. We're trying to be someone else when God says, no, I love you. Having a clear sense of purpose enables us to focus our efforts on what matters most, compelling us to take risks and to push forward, regardless of the odds or the obstacles. Today, as we are experiencing obstacles through COVID, we're allowing those obstacles to define who we are. We're allowing those obstacles to determine our purpose, to feel like we're less than and we don't have enough of. And I want to challenge you today that God has allowed these things in our lives to get us and to stir our old normal into new normal. So you asked this morning, Pastor Kevin, what is our purpose? Isn't my purpose to be a good spouse? Isn't my purpose to be a good parent? Isn't my purpose just to be a good Christ follower? Isn't my purpose to be a human, to work hard on a job? Can I tell you that, yeah, those are all subpoints of your purpose, but they're not your purpose. Those things do not define you. But in our culture today, we've allowed them to define us. I want to tell you what should define you today in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it's a recognition of the sovereignty of God. It's a recognition of Psalms 139 that steps back to go, nah, God, you knew me and you designed me and you knew my days and you fashioned me. And God, you purposefully put these chromosomes together to make me. And Romans 8:28 says this, we know that God causes everything. Type everything in your comments, would you? God causes everything, everything to work together for good. Type good. To work together for good to those who love God and are called according to what? His purpose for them. His purpose for them. Not your purpose for yourself. Not your plans and your agendas and your dreams. He says, no, God is working all of these things. God is actually using COVID right now in your life to bring about the best for you. It may not look like it. But can I tell you that my God, the God I serve, the God you serve, the God I'm preaching about right now, is a God that is a powerful God. He stood before all creation and he created all things. And I can tell you this, that the minuteness of COVID, of coronavirus, is nothing in comparison to the greatness of God. And God is in control. Everything was made with a purpose of pointing our hearts and our minds and our lives back to the Creator. Today, I want to look at three things about three principles of God's purpose. Three principles of God's purpose. And for us to actually grasp and understand purpose, we have to understand what the object was created for. Pastor Kevin, what are you talking about? Let me ask this question. How many have ever tried to screw a screw in with a butter knife? Can I tell you, your butter knife was never created to screw screws in? We can step back and go, well, that's just ingenious. Someone was using their ingenuity to do this. Can I tell you that we're abusing the purpose of a butter knife when we use it to screw in a screw? How many ever have used the heel of your shoe to pound a nail? Can I tell you, according to the designer's plan, the person that created shoes, they're coming back going, no, you're abusing the purpose of the shoe. You're gonna ruin your shoe. And today, for us to understand purpose, we've got to go back to the very beginning to go, why did God design you and me? Why is it that we need to step into a new normal to remind us and rediscover of God's purposes in our lives? Why is it that God's put a pause on life, maybe to get your attention, that you would be able to fulfill his purpose in a greater way? Number one principle of purpose is to rediscover God's original purpose. rediscover God's original purpose. Why did God create us? We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." That word workmanship is poema, which is where you get our word poem from, but it's, we are his handcraftedness. That it was his individuality that came and said, "No, I pay special attention to you, and I'm crafting you to be what I've designed you to be." Paul writes, he says, "For we are his," God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We see in this passage of scripture that God created you, and if God created you, you're not an accident. So that's just the assumption that when we come in and go, if God is good and God is perfect and God is God, then God doesn't make mistakes. So if you're here on this planet and you're hearing my voice right now, you are not an accident. There is a purpose declared for you, and we've got to go back to the original purpose of why did God create us? Not only did God create us, God says he has a plan for us. God says he's already prepared things for you to be doing. In the sovereignty of God, God is always right. But in the independence of man, you and I can step out of the sovereignty of God. In the independence of man, we can step out of God's purpose for you and I. It's what we call sin. Can I tell you, sin is, the Greek word is hamartia, missing the mark, missing the goal, missing the purpose. It's why sin is so wrong. It's why God is so against sin, because it not only does it separate us, but it removes from us our purpose. And God says, "I want you to remember your purpose." Scripture shows us, and I'm just going to give you a list of things. I could preach a sermon on each one of these. But scripture shows us that you were created, number one, to know God. You were created to know God, to walk in intimate relationship with him, not to know about him. How often are we content to know about him? God says, "I don't want you to know about me. I don't want you just to recognize my picture. I don't want to be a Facebook friend on your wall that somewhere I'm an acquaintance. I want you to know me. I want you to know me intimately like I know you intimately." God also created us to bring glory to him, that your life in knowing him would draw attention to him, not to yourself. Oftentimes we want our purpose to define us and we want people to recognize us. Can I tell you that your purpose, the reason you were created, was not to be recognized, but to point attention to him so that he's recognized? You are created to praise God. My purpose in life is to worship him. My purpose in the midst of COVID is not to go, "Oh me and oh my," but to go, "God, glory to you. In all things, giving thanks." You are created to grow. God designed you to grow. Some of us in COVID are growing out this way, and God's wanting you to grow more heavenly. God's wanting to be more like him, that we would grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the fruits of the Spirit would be more evident in our lives. God created you to grow. Are you growing? God created you. One of the most important things here is to spread the gospel, to spread the good news. I ask you, are you walking out this purpose in the midst of COVID? Are you actively spreading the good news of Christ Jesus? Do people know that you're a follower of Christ? Do they know by words and not by deeds? Can they look at your life and go, "Wow, I want to follow that. I want to be like that." Or no, they're just like everybody else. What's your agenda? Are you living out your purpose? God also created us to have talents. Each of us, and Peter talks about that each of us have been given a gift that is unique to us. And he says, don't use those gifts to make yourself better. Don't use those gifts to draw attention to yourself. Don't use those gifts to be recognized, but use those gifts to honor God and to bless others. Can I tell you today that many times we've abdicated the purpose of God. Why were we created? Why were we created? Number two, not only do we need to rediscover God's original purpose in our lives, but number two, don't seek your own purpose. Don't seek your own purpose. Our human nature, my human nature, Kevin, loves to be recognized. Anybody love to be recognized? Anybody want to be known for the contribution that you bring to life? Everybody wants to matter to somebody. In this battle that we are fighting for and trying to find significance, we end up listening to the wrong voices and we end up trying to pursue something that God's not intended for us to pursue. We will never find purpose and significance outside of God's purpose. Can I tell you that there are many people on this planet that are running races, they're climbing ladders that are against the wrong building and they're running the wrong direction. They're running after things of this planet that people are applauding and God's going, no, I don't want that. They're chasing their purpose rather than God's purpose. And I want to challenge you this morning that we have to be cautious not to maximize or minimize our role and our purpose. Not to maximize or minimize the role of our purpose. If we maximize our role, we become prideful. If we maximize our role by going, no, I'm self-important and I'm more important, then we become arrogant and prideful and I'm better than. And God, you need me. If we minimize it, we become insecure and we become insufficient. Can I tell you the middle ground? In the middle of all that is coming and saying, God, I humbly submit to you. Not striving, the enemy of our soul, the Satan. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy would love to distract you with maximizing and minimizing. He would love to get you to maximize that you're prideful and arrogant. He would love to minimize so that you are insufficient and feel insecure and don't even stand up to be what God wants you to be. And God says, I've come to raise you out of this. I've come to give you abundant life. I've come to give you something so much more. Our culture says that what you do determines who you are. Our culture declares that what you do determines who you are. Can I tell you we have it backwards? We've allowed culture to stamp us. Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. All throughout history, people have been defined by what they do. What they do determines who they are. I want to tell you, according to God, who you are determines what you do. If God the designer says that, or the person that designed the butter knife says it's to put butter on bread, then that was the design of that piece of utensil. If the designer of shoes says the shoe is to wear on your feet and not to hammer a nail in, you're abusing the purpose of that shoe by not utilizing it appropriately. It's the same way in God's kingdom. That God says who you are determines what you do. Who are you today? You are a child of God. You are a citizen of heaven. You are created in his image. You are called with a higher purpose. God, the God of all creation, defines you and defines who you are. Therefore, it determines what you should do and how you live. Our who defines our do. Our who defines our do. Many of us are defined by our doing versus who we are. Can I tell you that God created you to be a human being, not a human doing? God created you in his image to be his image, to be more like him, not to just do good works. Out of who you are, out of who you are comes this amazing thing that God is designing you, has designed you to be. Purpose is designated by the designer. Your purpose has been designated by God. Your purpose, the reason you exist, has been designated by God. Why is it that we step into physical rhythms? Because our purpose is so great, so much greater than just this planet. Why do we step into spiritual rhythms? Because our life, our being, our spiritual being is so much greater than just this human existence. Why is it that we walk in relationship with people? Because our existence is so minor and compared to eternity. The purpose that you and I are walking in has to be designated by our designer. I think the big glitch that we have in our lives is that we're not to live to find our purpose. You were created to serve God's purpose. If you don't forget, if you remember anything from this message today, I want you to remember that you were not created to discover your purpose. You were created to serve God's purpose. The reason that you are in existence today is not about you, it's about Him. It's not about what you get to do and how much money you make and what your family looks like and how cool you are and what you drive. It's about Him and only Him. The reason you're still alive on this planet today is because God is saying, I have created you for a purpose. Will you live it? Paul says in Acts 20, 24, a man who was driven, a man who had purpose, a man who had passion. He says in 2024, I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself. Can anybody say that today? How many has been screaming for the last 11 weeks about the value of your own life and the preciousness of your own things? Paul comes, he goes, I don't account my life as any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. If only I can fulfill my purpose, I don't care about all of this. Can I tell you that it's a daily dying? Yesterday, even in my own, I texted my wife and she's upstairs. Yeah, we text one another in the house. She's working up there and I'm downstairs in my office. Going, I feel like my time has just been obliterated the last 11 weeks. All I am is, feels like I'm just this robot of mechanics of preparing a sermon and preaching a sermon. What's happening? Can I tell you through all this that God has said, Kevin, are you giving account to all those things? Are you saying, God, I want to fulfill your purpose in my life? Your life may feel on hold right now, but what if God says your life is on hold right now because it's His purpose that you're fulfilling? As we see the story of Paul, we realize that Paul is in this understanding that life is not a 50-yard dash, it's a marathon. Life is not just this stint of 11 weeks or 3 months. Life is a marathon. And Paul is coming to this place of going, no, I'm running a marathon. I want to finish this race, and I don't want to just finish it. I want God's recognition when I'm done. He doesn't care about the applause of people. He cares about the applause of His Creator, because His Creator is the one that designed Him. Paul was driven. Paul had purpose. In his heart, his desire was to please Christ. I don't want to compare myself to Paul, but I can tell you this, one of my greatest desires and greatest fears is I don't want to miss the will of God in the middle of all of this. I'm running a race. You're running a race. I want to finish this race. And I want to glorify my God. And I want to fulfill my purpose for this time. Paul was driven. He had voices behind him that were saying, Paul, turn away. You're going to be persecuted. Paul, you're going to die. Paul, you're going to be thrown in prison. But can I tell you, the voices of people never deterred his purpose. He was hearing the voice. And he says, I'm not going to be deterred by these things. Yes, and Paul eventually died. Yes, Paul eventually was thrown in prison. Yes, Paul eventually was caught up in a lot of situations that were not comfortable, but he says, for this reason, I do these things, even amidst the warnings of people. One of the greatest hindrances in our life today, as much as people are a blessing, they're a hindrance. Can I tell you today that people are going to try to define your purpose for you? People are going to try to tell you what you should do and shouldn't do. People are not always going to understand why you do what you do. I can look back over the last 33 years of marriage with my wife, and she's not always understood the decisions I made about ministry, and I've not always understood her decisions and how she's walked out her convictions with God. But can I tell you, that even though we're one, there's an individual responsibility between us and God, that I can't allow her voice to deter me from the purpose of God, and she can't allow my voice to deter her from the purpose of God. What is our human nature? We want to make people into our image. We want to shape them and we want to fashion them. Paul desired to finish the work of God. Number three today, as I finished, walk out God's purpose. We're to recognize and to rediscover God's purpose for our lives. We're not to seek our own purpose, and today we've got to learn how to walk it out. I've discovered in my own life that I can recognize God's purpose, and I know I need to get out of the way, but the hardest part is actually walking out His purpose. Because there's battle between the flesh and the spirit. The battle of humility to say, God, is not about me, it's about you. Pastor Kevin, have you mastered it? No. This last week, I failed time and time again. But can I tell you this? I'm determined to walk out His purpose, not mine. I want to leave you with a statement today. It says, stop striving to be somebody and start striving to glorify God. Would you stop striving to be somebody? Would you stop striving to be the next whoever? Stop striving to be somebody and start striving to glorify God with your life. In glorifying God, that's when you become somebody. In glorifying God, that's when you're defined. In glorifying God, that's when you find purpose. In glorifying God, that's what makes you who you are and makes you effective. How do we walk this out? We be faithful and we be obedient. Can I tell you that faithfulness is never overrated? Faithfulness, being faithful in relationships, faithful in your job, faithful, being steady, being dependent, dependable. Can I tell you that God looks at you and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Some of the last words, first words that you hear as you enter into heaven is, well done, thy good and faithful, reliable, dependent. Would you just be dependent, dependable, faithful, loyal, obedience, one who's quick to reply, comply to? Walk out God's purpose. Acts chapter 13, 36, we hear about a man who was recognized for walking out God's purpose. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. When he served his purpose, he died. We can step back and we can scrutinize David's life. To go, he didn't walk out God's purpose. He was a failure. He had an affair. He killed people. He did this, he did that. Can I tell you this? That God comes back and he recognizes, even though he made mistakes, he was faithful and he was obedient. Even though he made mistakes, he was quick to repent. In Psalm 51, he says, God, search my heart, O God, and know my wicked ways. So when we talk about walking out God's purpose, we're not talking about walking it out perfectly. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. It's desiring to please him. When God, when David, when the days of David's life that God had pre-numbered and pre-set, when they had come to completion and when he had fulfilled his purpose, he died. He fulfilled his purpose for his generation. Can I tell you today, you and me in 2020, you and me in the middle of COVID, do you realize how honored we are? What are you talking about, Pastor Kevin? That God saw you and he purposed you for such a time as this. That you and I would be existing in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic that has never existed in the planet before. That you and I would be his representatives to glorify him. That you and I would be leading society through some of the hardest of circumstances. That you and I would be the head and not the tail. That you and I would make an influence and an impact on a culture. That's our purpose. And when we're done fulfilling our purpose for our generation, we're going to go to heaven. Can I tell you, We may have been concerned and consumed in March about what our purpose was. Fulfilling my purpose for my life, that by the age of this, I'm going to retire. By the age of this, I'm going to have my house paid off. By the age of this, I'm going to do this. Can I tell you, God's put a sudden halt to all those things. He says, I've called you, I've defined you, and I want you to live out my purpose. I want you to walk in obedience to me. Our job is to live to make God famous. Can I tell you that your life is not about you to be famous for yourself? It's not to make a name for you. It's not to be recognized and applauded by people, even though that feels good. Our job is to glorify him. Our job is to make him famous in our world today. And can I tell you, it's amazing to me, because through this crisis, we are reaching more people than we've ever been able to reach. Through this crisis, the church has become this magnet, has been this illuminator to glorify God, that maybe, just maybe, COVID has forced us to fulfill his purpose and not ours. How do we walk this out? My challenge to you, just four simple little things. We need to be unique to us. We need to live authentically. Please don't try to be somebody else. Don't be someone else. No one has your chromosomes. You have them, and God designed you and made you you. Be authentic to you. Be uniquely you. Stay focused. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the purpose of Christ. Don't look to the purpose of someone else. Don't be dissuaded by what the world is saying. Keep your eyes on the target. His purpose is what matters. He designated you, designated it. He designed it. Number three, where I struggle is value God's approval more than others. Anybody like people's approval? I still do. But can I tell you this? My desire to hear his whisper, my desire to hear him say, this is the way, walk ye in it, is greater than the approval of people. I want to honor him. I want to glorify him. How do we walk in it? Lastly, you need to fight for your purpose. You need to fight for your purpose. I want to remind you that you are in a war. You have an enemy of your soul. You have a culture that's clamoring for your attention. There is something that's there that's trying to hinder you and defeat you and to destroy you. And you have to fight for purpose. You have to be determined to run. You have to be determined to stand and to stand there for. You have to be determined not to listen to the voices and the clamor of all the noise. You've got to fight for purpose. I've realized this in my own life. Kevin, you can either make a difference or you can make an excuse, but you can't do both. Kevin, you can either make a difference or you can make an excuse, but you can't do both. Can I tell you this? I'm determined. I want to make a difference. Yes, I'm human and I like excuses. I like to get out from underneath responsibility if I don't have to carry it on my own. I'm human, just like you and I are. We're all human. We like to point the finger someplace else. But let me ask you, do you want to make a difference? Do you want to make a difference for the kingdom of God? Do you want to make a difference that God's able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul warns us. He comes with this caution. He says, be very careful. Type careful in your comments. Be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live. Don't get caught up in the affairs of this planet. Don't get caught up in the realities of where you're living at this moment. Remember what your purpose is. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but one who is wise, making the most of what? Every opportunity. Every moment that you live, waking in the morning, in the middle of the day, hour upon hour, going, God, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not my purpose, it's your purpose. Because the days are evil. because the attention is trying to be distracted. There is an enemy of our soul, and there's a culture that wants to defeat us. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the purpose for your plan, for your life is. The will, God's perfect and pleasing will for you, is not defined by you. It's defined by Him. His will is not defined by the culture for you. His will is not defined by the president. His will is not defined by the governor. His will is not defined by what the news says. His will is not defined by COVID. His will is defined by Him and by His purpose. I charge you today to pursue the purpose of God for your life. Some of you, this may be a very deliberate decision that you have to stand up and go, no, I am not going back. Today may be the day that all of a sudden the light bulb has come on throughout this whole series and you're going, ah, now I understand. Maybe you've been battling within yourself about, well, I've got to do this. I got to get this focus. I got to get attention. And God's going, no, I want you to focus on me. I charge you in the power of the Holy Spirit. I charge you according to scripture today, pursue the purpose of God for your life. Quit chasing what the culture says. Stop chasing who you are and find out who He is. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, today I thank you for every person who is hearing this message today. God, I thank you that before the beginning of time, you knew each and every single one of us. Before we even were in existence, God, you knew us, you fashioned us, you designed us. And God, your purpose has never changed. God, from the very beginning of creation, your goal for Adam and Eve, God, your goal through the generations has been that your name would be famous. God, these have all been people to point others towards you, not towards ourselves. God, it's not about a denomination. It's not about a church. It's about you. And God, today I pray that you would call us back to purpose. Call us back to meaning. Call us back to responsibility. God, help us to lay aside what we think it should be and to embrace you today. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Kevin, I want to know more about this Jesus. I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. I've not been living with purpose. Can I tell you today, you can make the decision to begin to live in purpose. God purposed you to know Him. God purposed you to make Him Lord of your life. God didn't just shout from heaven that He loves you. He sent His Son to this planet to dwell amongst us, to understand us, to experience what we experience, to show you the way out. Not only did He just come and live, but He died on a cross for you and for me to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and our inadequacies. And it's as simple as saying, Jesus, would you come into my heart? If that's you, would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? Would you forgive me of my sins? Jesus, thank you for the work that you've done on the cross. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, would you help me to live like I've never lived before? And God, as I do all these things, help me to walk out your purpose for my life. Help me to stop seeking purpose in things that don't matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're gonna sing this last song, I Will Build My Life. Would you sing this with determination? Would you sing this with purpose in your voice and purpose in your heart? Determine it, make it your prayer today. I will build my life on Him. Come on, let's do it.
Thank you, Jesus. We build our lives on you.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.